New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Today was a very, very big day when it comes to the Delphi trial and Hidden True Crimes coverage of the Delphi trial. I am in Delphi, Indiana right now, and I attended the sentencing of Richard Allen this morning. It is December 20th, 2024, nearly 8 years since Richard Allen brutally murdered two best friends, Libby German and Abby Williams. 13 and 14 years old, as they walked across the Monon High Bridge on a fun afternoon off of school. Richard Allen was sentenced today, and his sentencing was two consecutive 35-year sentences. So, in other words, he has 265, forgive me, he has 130 years total, 265-year sentences in prison. So 130 total years behind bars. I'm going to take you, as I've always done throughout this trial, I'm going to take you throughout every detail. And I want to let you know that I have the majority of all the victim impact statements in front of me right now. I have been given them, and we are going to read them all. So you won't just have my notes and what I was able to scribe from trial. I have the victim impact statements with me now, and we are going to read them, and you're going to hear what the families of Abby and Libby shared with Richard Allen and with the courtroom today. Before we get there, let's start at the beginning. And Richard Allen sentencing, I went in. I was number one in line. It's never happened before in my life. But today I was number one, and I walked in and I was able to get take a seat on the second row, which is usually reserved for media. But today there were a few seats on the second row available, and I took that one. I could hear well today. I could hear very well today. There were many Allen family seats reserved, and many seats reserved for Abby and Libby's family. Well, interestingly enough, the Allen family seats were vacant, and we went in there. They only allowed 13 people into today's sentencing, which was surprising because I had heard word that the Allen family might not be there. And so I thought, well, maybe they're coming. On the other side of the aisle, it was completely packed with Abby and Libby's family. Everybody was there. I have some names of people that were there. Kathy Shank was in the room. I interviewed her, or we have an interview with her from later today. Susan Hendricks, the murder sheets. McClellan's mom, the prosecution's mom, was there. Of course, the Patties were there. Mike and Becky Patty. Tara German was in there. That's Libby's aunt, Becky's daughter. Carrie Timmons was there. That is Libby's mother. Carrie's sister was there, and Carrie's daughter, all Libby's family. Cody Patty was there, as well as his wife, Terry German. And then you had Anna, Abby's mother, that was there. You had Diane Erskine and Eric Erskine. Those are Abby's grandparents, who gave a victim impact statement on behalf of Abby's family. And you had Eric's sister, Abby's great aunt, that was there. There were more people that were there. Those are just some of the people I was able to identify. Again, it was very full with the victim's family. Many officers, I counted 14 total officers in the room. I recognized Steve Mullen and Jerry Holman and Lesenby. Richard Allen walked in at 8:55 a.m. Again, the sentencing was starting at 9 a.m. He walks in at 8:55. He's shackled. His hands are shackled. He has a transport belt on. He has an orange jumpsuit with a gray sweatshirt on top. In fact, you can see a photo of him that was taken by the Carroll County Comet. And as he was walking out, and you can see exactly what he was wearing. He had a Bible in his hands. I believe that he read the Bible a lot behind bars. So perhaps he was just bringing it for comfort. Admittedly, it looked like a prop, but I'm not saying it is. But it was just, he also was shackled, so he didn't have many ways to carry things, but he had that Bible right there, as well as a notebook. And then at 8:57, I'm looking around, and the Allen family seats have still not been filled. And at that moment, they do let more of the public in that was in line. And so total, they let 19 people from the public into today's sentencing. Judge Gull started by asking for Richard Allen to state his name, in which he said, Richard Matthew Allen. And Judge Gull says, you were found guilty. Richard Allen says, yes. Judge Gull asks if he's been satisfied with his counsel. He says, yes. Judge Gull asks, have you looked at the pre-sentencing report? Richard Allen says, yes. Does he have any additions? Judge Gull asks. Rosie then gets up and explains that it says October 28th when the arrest was actually made October 26th. And they fix that. And Judge Gull asks, is the rest of it as accurate as possible? Yes, it is. And then McClelland, the prosecution, gets up and he asks to call a witness to the stand. And who was that witness? That witness is Lieutenant Jerry Holman. Lieutenant Jerry Holman testified, to remind all of you, several times during the trial. And it was Lieutenant Holman that interrogated Richard Allen and decided to make the arrest of Richard Allen. Jerry Holman is wearing a suit and he heads to the stand. And there is a microphone on the floor for victim impact statements. And he doesn't go to that. He goes to the stand next to Judge Gull, where all the witnesses testify. He is a witness at this moment. McClelland then goes on to question Jerry Holman as a witness at the sentencing and says, you have been heavily involved. Jerry Holman says, yes, many have been involved. McClelland says, you've seen all the evidence and you have seen the crime scene photos. Lieutenant Holman says, unfortunately, yes, I have. He's asked, how does this compare? And his first word that he says is brutal. This is brutal. Lieutenant Holman continues, Richard Allen laid in wait. He stalked these girls. He kidnapped them. He humiliated them. He forced them down the hill with a gun. He sexually assaulted them until he was interrupted. And then he made them cross a freezing river. He treated them like animals. He forced one girl to watch the other being killed while he killed the other. I can't imagine what they went through, their fear. McClelland asks, how has this affected your community? Jerry Holman says the community is fearful. Community members are being harassed and threatened. Law enforcement now, there is doubt in law enforcement in this community. Then McClelland asks, did Richard Allen allow his attorneys to harass you and the state? And he says, yes. And then they ask, is Richard Allen a threat to the community? Is he at risk? And Lieutenant Holman says, yes, and explains that he is manipulative. He says he is so manipulative. His lack of remorse is astounding. He says he wants to apologize to the family, but he has yet to ever apologize to the family. And he hasn't. And he uses religion to manipulate his wife and his family. He manipulates to get his iPad, his new facility to get visits from his wife. He uses manipulation to get anything he wants. He is a danger to the community. He shows no remorse. He says he wants to apologize and never has. But hopefully today, maybe, is that day that he will apologize to the family. And then it concludes and Lieutenant Holman gets down. And then we have a victim impact statement from Carrie Timmons, Libby's own mother. And I have that victim impact statement. And again, I am going to read that now to all of you. I have it verbatim right here. So again, this is the victim impact statement given by Libby's mom today on December 20th, 2024. Your Honor, I've struggled for weeks over writing this because I honestly am not sure how to explain the path of destruction left in the wake of the decisions made by Richard Allen on February 13th, 2017. That day changed all of our lives in so many ways forever. Libby was always my go-to for advice. She somehow would have known exactly what to say in this situation, and I have no doubt that she is currently holding my pen. I had no problem getting the word out when he was just bridge guy and had not been identified. But honestly, I don't know how to process the fact that a husband and father is capable of the horrendous acts of brutality inflicted upon our beautiful children. I was totally blind to the fact that such evil actually existed. I don't know which is worse, knowing or not knowing. The last 2,867 days, as of 12/20, have been absolute hell for Libby and Abby's friends and family. Next week, we should be celebrating our birthdays together, which is December 25th and December 27th. Libby would be 22. She should be here. I quit celebrating after her 14th and my 39th. I can't help but to see her grin at that, understanding the anxiety that she knew I had about turning the dreaded 40. As Libby's mom, I am left with so many what ifs. I'm left without memories of her growing up, getting her driver's license and first car, her first job. She didn't get to graduate and go on to college. We were cheated out of seeing her be the best auntie. She doesn't get to fall in love, get married, and have babies. She was robbed of the opportunity to experience life and fulfill all of the dreams and aspirations she already had at such a young age. I can't even put into words what it feels like to see other parents and their children get those things, for their lives to go on. It makes no sense to me. I shouldn't be jealous of them, but I am. I can't understand how life managed to go on for everyone else while mine stopped. Instead of those memories and milestones, I am left with this massive grief, a literal hole in my soul, broken relationships, shattered hearts, and broken dreams. I struggle daily with guilt, crippling anxiety, complex PTSD, and severe depression. But I have continued to persevere in a world that I don't want to live in without her. My daughters were robbed of their big sister, their childhood, their innocence, and life as they knew it. They had to grow up through so much turmoil. Alexis turned 11 just 3 days after her sister's body was found on my grandmother's birthday. Birthdays are always hard around here. I will never understand how he was able to get away with it for so long. How can such evil hide in plain sight? Continuing to walk down streets lined with his picture, making a mockery of law enforcement, the families, the community, and especially Libby and Abby for nearly 6 years. Only Richard Allen has those answers. He has claimed remorse and a need to apologize. I won't hold my breath waiting, but I do deserve those answers. Libby and Abby deserve the whole truth to come out, and I am all ears. Put me on your visitors list. I will listen. While there will never really be justice or closure, and nothing will bring my daughter back, I am so very proud of her for not only exposing her and Abby's killer, but also bringing much needed attention to so many cases near and far. This tragedy hasn't completely stopped Libby from accomplishing at least one dream from beyond the grave. Her courage and strength will live on as she guides us through this lifetime. Until we meet again, she is my sunshine. It was heartbreaking to read, and it was heartbreaking to listen to. The next testimony was from Josh Lank. Josh is Libby's cousin, and I have that full victim impact statement as well, and I am going to read that verbatim. Another voice that deserves to be heard. He starts, I would like to start off by thanking the prosecution team and all of the law enforcement who was involved in this case for the countless hours of your guys' time that was dedicated to this case, and I can't thank each of you enough. You can tell from the beginning that this case was very important to them, and they did everything they could to find justice for these two beautiful girls. I would also like to thank our little community. You guys have been so kind to our family with the love and support you have shown us, from painting the town teal and purple to feeding us every day throughout the trial. I seriously can't thank you guys enough. Our town may be little, but this goes to show that in time of need, our community pulls together. Libby was my first cousin, but the bond we had together was a brother and sister bond that nobody could break. When we were younger, we were together almost every day. It was always Kelsey, Libby, my brother, and I. We would ride the bus to my grandma's after school, and you would never know what kind of trouble we would get into. Libby was one of a kind. She would give the shirt off her back to someone she thought needed it more than her. She was always trying to find ways to help people and make things easier on everyone. She truly was going to do great things in life. I will forever remember Libby by the amazing memories we made and not how Richard Allen left them on February 13th, 2017. He took away so much from both of those girls. They had amazing lives ahead of them. The pain he has put both of our families through could never be forgiven or forgotten. The things we have had to see, we will never be able to unsee, all because of him. This man made my life and my family's life a living hell for the past 8 years. Now it's time for his life to be a living hell. 23 hours a day, no communication, isolation from everyone. That is what this man's life is going to be like until he dies. Richard Allen took two amazing little girls with so much life ahead of them from my family and the Williams family way too soon. And for his action, I hope and pray he lives the rest of his life thinking of the mistakes he made that day. I would like to leave you with this. God doesn't have a place for sick, twisted, minding individuals like Richard Allen. The devil has a special place in hell for him. And I hope the prison community can get him there quicker than the sentencing. He is a dead man walking. Judge Gull, I ask that you take into consideration the max sentencing with no parole. There should be no way this man has a chance to get out of prison and to be able to have the ability to do what he did again. Granting him no parole will solidify that. Powerful. That was Josh Link, again, Libby's first cousin. As 2024 comes to a close, you're thinking about new resolutions for 2025. Consider adding learning another language to your resolution list. It sounds hard at first, but trust me, there's no better way to learn than by using Rosetta Stone. For 30 years now, Rosetta Stone has been the most trusted language learning program for millions of people to connect with others around the world. You can learn up to 25 different languages. Whether you're sitting at home or on your computer or on your phone, Rosetta Stone can easily be accessed. You can go from speaking words and phrases to full sentences in no time. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Hidden True Crime listeners can take advantage of this new year special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That is unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today. These days, things impacting my hormones feels like an endless list. And after talking to friends, I know that I'm not alone. It is so frustrating to figure out how to feel like myself again. And sometimes just when we think we're on top of it, perimenopause or menopause hits and it's like starting all over again. But Hormone Harmony is a formula I've been taking daily. It contains herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, the beauty about adaptogens, they help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout our lives. Symptoms such as night sweats, poor sleep, racing thoughts, low mood. In the 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, there's a repetitive thing women keep saying. They feel like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use code HiddenTrueCrime for 15% off today.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase, limit two. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The next victim impact statement was Diane Erskine. And I have notes of Diane's. I do not have it verbatim, but I wrote as quickly as I could. So there will be things I missed, but these are some of the things that Diane Erskine, Abby's grandmother, said in her victim impact statement. And following Diane Erskine, we'll have Eric Erskine, Abby's grandfather. They spoke on behalf of Abby's whole family. So Diane Erskine explained that she was Abby's grandmother. And on behalf of our family, this isn't a day of sadness, she said. We won't be going home and having champagne and celebrating. They are heartbroken, she said. I found it possible to write this. Abby, she explains, was the first and only child of our firstborn child. Abby's most popular phrase, the phrase that Abby said the most was, quote, "Do you need any help?" End quote. It is terrifying for me to think of what happened to her that day. Absolutely terrifying. That the word, that terrifying word, is what wakes her up in the middle of the night. She is terrified of what Abby saw and felt and heard in her last hour of her life. And she is terrified thinking of that. She also realizes that Abby was humiliated. Humiliated is what she would have been during this trial. She was a modest girl, she explained. She did not show off. And yet here she was with photos of her mutilated, photos of her in her most vulnerable state. And people have been sharing those photos. They are graphic photos. The thing that often haunts her, that she thinks about, is Abby's last words on the footage that Libby filmed on her phone. And it was, quote, "Don't leave me up here." And she was afraid. And Libby didn't leave her. She explains that she has so much sadness and anxiety and fear every single day. She explains that her daily routine is the same every day, that she wakes up and makes her bed. She looks at the clock and then she prays and she tries to breathe deep. She said, "I make the most of the time I have, knowing that I have lived five times the life that Abby ever had." She has the nightmares come anyway, and then followed by the what ifs. She watches Abby's friends grow up. And I wonder, she says, who Abby would have been, how many great-grandchildren were murdered as well. I'm grateful for my life and my faith in God. But Richard Allen took Abby's life, but Abby had given her life to God. There was more, but again, that's as much as I could get. And then we had Eric Erskine, and Eric is the grandfather of Abby. He explains that he's not articulate. He's a bolt and wrench kind of a guy. The last 7 years of his life, their daily lives, have been difficult to process. The loss of Abby was like losing a limb that will never grow back. It's a wound that scabs over but never heals and gets infected. He can't count the thousands and thousands and thousands of times of him thinking about what happened in Abby's last hour and how that goes through his mind. It's his most horrifying thoughts. And he's not sure that his family will ever get back to normal. He is in pain about what her Delphi classmates have gone through and believes that they also won't ever recover. Some of them still seen in therapy. He said to Richard Allen, "You stole our future, but you will not take away our memories or how." He asks Richard Allen, "How could you ever go through your daily routine when he can't even go through his daily routine?" He says to Richard Allen, "You say you found God, but God was not lost. God was here before earth was created, and he was there on February 13th. The girls knew God. I have no doubt that they are in a good place. God gives us a choice, and you made a decision, and your decision is beyond my comprehension. But Richard Allen, you can set the record straight. Judge Gull, we put our trust in you." And then we have Becky Patty. I have her full victim impact statement verbatim. The Patties sent me their victim impact statements. And this is from Becky Patty, and I'm going to read it verbatim, Libby's grandmother. To Honorable Judge Gull, where does one start? How does one explain the effect of how one choice a person makes has on an entire family for generations to come? I don't think one can really explain and do it justice. There are not enough words in our language that begins to paint the picture of the grief we live with each and every day. Richard Allen was an adult, and he should be held accountable for the choices he made on February 13th, 2017. He chose not to go to lunch with his mom and sister. Instead, he chose to drink beer for liquid courage. He chose to lay in wait for his victims, to order them down the hill. He had the opportunity to let Libby and Abby go when that white van drove by, but he chose not to do so. Instead, he chose to take them across the creek where he viciously murdered them, making sure they were dead before he went home and continued his life. Richard Allen viciously and heartlessly stole the choice to live from Abby and Libby that day. He was a coward and didn't want to be held accountable for his heinous choices and actions. So he just killed them and went home. I guess in his eyes, he was nice enough to make sure they were dead before leaving so they wouldn't suffer. A few days later, he developed photos for the family that would be used at Libby's funeral. He stood there watching the family members as they struggled to keep their composure while dealing with the insurmountable grief and preparing for the unthinkable that lay ahead. Not blinking an eye, with no remorse. I wonder what he was thinking. Our lives turned upside down that day, never to be the same again. Abby and Libby, two young teens with their entire futures ahead of them, they never got the opportunity to make their marks in the world. He stole that from them. Libby never got to go to prom, graduate, go on dates, go to college, get married, or start a family. She never got to be the best aunt ever. He robbed us all. The world was robbed of what could have been. All the while, he went on living his life. He was able to walk his daughter down the aisle and give her away at her wedding. I wonder, did he think of the girls at all while walking her down the aisle? Our families will never get the privilege of watching Abby or Libby walk down that aisle. He took that away from us. The impact of Richard Allen's choices made that day has haunted our families for almost 8 years and continues even now. Because of choices he made and subsequent arrest, he was appointed 2 lawyers to defend him. Those lawyers have done nothing but twist the knife around and around in our wounds Richard caused that day. Because of one lawyer's sloppiness, sealed crime scene photos of Libby's naked and mutilated body were left unattended, allowing images to be taken and spread around to people on the internet. As recent as this week, those crime scene photos were still being shared on the internet and for no good reason or entertainment by many. Sharing those photos changes nothing. It doesn't solve the crime. It doesn't bring the girls back. So now, because of Richard Allen's choices that day and his lawyer sloppiness, the impact has now become generational for us. One day when Libby's nieces or nephews decide they want to learn more about their Aunt Libby, they may be faced with those horrible crime scene photos that were so carelessly taken care of. I wonder if his lawyer would have been so careless with those photos if they were photos of one of his children. Would he still have felt no accountability because he was snookered? And then you have the other lawyer who sat in the judge's chambers and stating he really didn't care that the photos had been leaked. I wonder if he would have been so callous and uncaring if those photos of his child's naked and mutilated body being shared, would he still not care? No. When does it ever stop? As recent as yesterday, the defense continued playing their games. They know law enforcement investigated their third-party theories with never being able to place any of those people at the trails that day. They continue their charades at the expense of Abby and Libby. We don't ever want to go there talking about the hardships caused to family. Richard Allen is not the victim. No, these professionals are allowed to claim no accountability for their actions and move on to the next case, disrespecting and devaluing the next victim and their families. Meanwhile, our families are left picking up the pieces because of their choices and actions. In the end, all of these choices made by the defense team, the fallout our families now have to live with, falls directly on the head of Richard Allen because of the choices he made on February 13th, 2017. I could go on and on about what we lost that day, but it would change nothing. The deafening silence in the house, the milestones missed, the grandbabies never to sit on our laps, the impact Libby and Abby would have had on so many lives. Talking about them won't bring them back to us. Nothing in this world can change the outcome of that horrific day. No matter how hard we wish or pray them back, they are gone forever. Only Richard Allen, making a different choice that day, could have changed it. Their lives were in the balance, and he chose to kill Abby and Libby. Their lives mattered. He is the one responsible for all of this. All I can hope for now is that Richard Allen will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law for what he did that day. His sentence needs to reflect not only the murdering of the girls, but also serving time for each day of life those girls still had in front of them, for every feat they may have accomplished. I feel he should serve one day behind bars for each future day he robbed from those girls. I hope he is not held in a single occupancy cell his attorneys feel that would be detrimental to his health. I hope he is ordered to reside in general population so he can have the human interaction he so craves and needs. Last of all, I hope he lives each day of the rest of his life living with the same fear he bestowed on Abby and Libby the last hour of their lives. I hope the choices he made on February 13th, 2017 come back to haunt him, giving him no peace. I realize I should not feel this way, but I can't stop these feelings. I hope God can see my heart and can forgive me. I hope Richard Allen's new relationship with God will finally compel him to do the right thing and to stop this nightmare from continuing any longer. Not only for our families, but his as well. He needs to do what he knows God would want him to do. I hope he finally gives the girls the respect they deserve, give them back the dignity he so callously took from them. Richard Allen took so much from our families and the world that day. But what he will never take from us is our memories that we have of Libby and Abby. We will forever keep them alive, even if it can only be in our hearts. I live every day with the burden of the choice that I made that fateful day. I can never change the results of my choice of letting the girls go to the trails, and I take responsibility for that. What about you, Richard Allen? Will you ever own up and take responsibility for the choices you made that day? Only you can stop this nightmare for all the families. You can make that choice. That was Becky Patty. And the next victim impact statement was Mike Patty, Libby's grandfather, and I will go ahead and read that. Honorable Judge Frangel, we appreciate your firm, fair guidance and direction, your ability to thwart off all unnecessary noise and acts that were deployed during this process. Thank you for standing firm and staying focused on what needed to be done. I request you provide the maximum sentence allowed by our justice system, and whatever that sentence is, would also have no possibility of parole. There is no parole available to our girls, and for this, I will never forget. Prosecution, we appreciate your willingness to stay on task, putting in numerous hours, putting this case above many of your personal needs. The results speak for itself, but I wanted to share our deepest gratitude. For this, I will never forget. The investigation team, we appreciate your determination and grit to stay on this for so many years. I have observed from the outside while you investigated so many tips that many have no idea about, all to deliver proof and get to the bottom of this case. Never once did I hear we are out of options. There was always a full court press to bring justice in this case. For this, I will never forget. Family, I am so blessed to have such a loving and welcoming family. I only wish I could have prevented any of this from happening and wish I could have protected everyone having to go through this. Our family is strong and we will march forward and continue to grow. For this, I am grateful. To the defense, I understand the role you needed to play, but I cannot connect the ways of our legal system to allow so many things to interfere with the truth and facts to simply be brought before a jury. I cannot imagine our forefathers ever envisioning the attempts to suppress and divert the facts that this would ever be part of our justice system. One should reflect and review their position to support truth, justice, and the American way. Your inept ability to protect some of the most personal facts in this case, the crime scene photos, and making statements that you really didn't care that they were out there. My family will forever have to explain how these are available for people to search. What do I say to my kids, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? What will you tell your grandkids? I hope you tell them the truth. I surely will. For this, I will never forget. To the convict, I will never understand how you could have conducted such an atrocity. You killed my granddaughter nearly 8 years ago and have only thought of yourself. Your attempts of self-preservation are a result of how you really are. Once you committed this crime, you could have been a man, stood up, and taken accountability, but you didn't. At any time during these proceedings, you could have stood up and taken responsibility, but you didn't, and were only concerned about yourself and tried to get away with murder. Actions always speak louder than words. By being so selfish, you continue to punish and hurt my family. For this, I will never forget. I have never felt such hatred, and it should not be this way, towards another human being. What you have done has impacted so many people's lives. We will heal with the help of our pastor. I'm lucky to have a great family and will enjoy the rest of my life helping and watching them all grow from our kids to our great-grandchildren. This is something you will not get to take away, and you will never get to experience such joy and love as what my family has. Lastly, I hope the rest of your days are spent in as much fear as the girls had to experience the last part of their lives, and I hope those moments haunt you the rest of your days. You deserve no better. Now is the time to stand up and take accountability. Put a stop to any future attempts to appeal so we can let Libby rest in peace. Mike Patty, grandfather to Liberty German. A few notes I made during this process. That Baldwin, Richard Allen's attorney, didn't take his arm from Richard Allen the entire sentencing. The entire sentencing. At some points, rubbing his back, his hand arm fully around him, never once taking it away. So McClelland then gets up, the prosecution. He gets up and he says that the girls have affected so many lives. After Richard Allen's arrest, YouTubers called police names and called them corrupt. And then when crime scene photos were released, the victims were re-victimized. The families continued to be re-victimized. This crime affected the community. This community now locks their doors. They take defense classes. They blamed each other. These are things to consider because Richard Allen's actions have affected so many people. Richard Allen showed no remorse or regret during this entire trial. He might not have a criminal past, which I understand is a mitigating factor. But I cannot forget what Dr. Monica Walla wrote in her notes the day that Richard Allen confessed to her. This is what she wrote in those notes that Richard Allen stated. I bundled up. I laid in wait. I followed the girls onto the bridge. I intended to rape the girls. I believed that they were older, older biological age. I ordered them down the hill with a gun. I saw a van. I ordered them across the creek. I cut their throats. I wanted to make sure that they were dead so they would not suffer. And then Nick McClelland says, he laid in wait. That is the term he says, the phrase that he cannot forget and is always thinks about, that Richard Allen laid in wait. He says that he will never forget the fear in Abby's voice on the video that Libby took that day on the bridge when she runs by Libby. He can't imagine how they felt as this man, Richard Allen, ordered them down the hill. And he orders them, a 13 and 14-year-old girl, to strip two young girls and he begins to assault them. But then during that assault, 7 minutes into that assault, he is interrupted. They cross the creek. And then he cuts one throat while the other watches. And then he kills the other. He makes sure they are dead. And then he walks back to his car to live his life like nothing happened. This is the kind of man that kills two girls and moves on like nothing happened. This is when I note throughout this, Baldwin's arm still has not left Richard Allen's, and he even rubs his back at times. This is, okay, this is now Judge Gull. This is the sentencing part. So FYI, Richard Allen's family never came. They never showed up. Richard Allen does not say anything, and his attorneys hardly say anything. And now it's Judge Gull.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
His attorney's request, the mitigating factors, there's no criminal history. They throw out that this is possibly undue hardship on Richard Allen's wife because he's the main breadwinner. And they mentioned that he's an Army National Guard. And Judge Gull, in response to all of those mitigating factors, says that this has nothing to do with anything with the Army National Guard. She explains that there is a long history of mental health, and she understands that mitigating factor, but she doesn't count it because there is no nexus between your mental health and violent crimes. But I recognize you have mental health issues. Judge Gull looks at Richard Allen and says that I've presided over some of the most hideous cases. And this is right up there. The most hideous. What you have done is astounding. And it has made an extraordinary impact and affected so many people. She explains that the minimum is 45 years and the maximum 65 years. But you rank an extraordinary impact to so many. She mentions that Libby's grandmother, Becky, talked about the generational impact. I appreciate that, Judge Gull says. I hadn't considered that. I appreciate that Becky Patty brought that up. Richard Allen, you sit here and you roll your eyes at me while I say this. And you have rolled your eyes at me repeatedly during this trial. This, by the way, Laura noted, is interesting because we could not see Richard Allen's face during the trial. He faced the judge. So this is new information to many of us. You continue to roll your eyes at me repeatedly during this trial. And so I give you 65 years for count three and 65 years for count four. They are to run consecutively. Thus, 130 years, you have had 786 days served already. And that concludes. There was then additional things that happened, but as we got up to leave at this moment, so Judge Gull asks us all to stay put because they're taking Richard Allen away. So although Judge Gull stands up, and typically we stand for judges, there was a request that we stay seated as they take Richard Allen out of the courtroom. And Judge Gull leaves as well. And then we're all sitting there sort of waiting to be excused to leave. The counsel is leaving. Everyone's leaving. We're again requested to sort of stay put until all of the family leaves. And Ajay, the defense attorney Ajay, walks over to Nick McClellan, and she walks over to him. And it's clearly very terse. And she points her finger at Nick McClellan and is getting angry, yelling at him. She is yelling at him. And he exchanges some strong words back. I couldn't hear. And she sort of implied, you know what I mean. And she pointed her finger and was angry, then left. We saw that happen. At the press conference today, somebody asked what that was about. He said it was about things that were relayed at the trial that she wasn't happy about, but they were going to leave that. It was personal, and he didn't share more, but that did happen. And people left, and then we went directly over to the press conference where I was live for nearly 2 hours. You can go check that out. And then I mentioned that I would come here and give the latest. I waited a bit because I wanted to see if I could get the majority of the victim impact statements, because it was my belief that rather than me sharing or butchering any of these words, that these were the victims' words and their voices deserve to be heard. And I am grateful to those that have shared their words with me today. It was a very powerful day in court. It was very solemn. It was very sad. I have cried. Nobody's happy. But I was talking to the editor of the Carroll County Comet today. In fact, Holly is her name. And she took the photos of Richard Allen leaving the courthouse today that are up. I share them on our community posts as well as Facebook and other places. And so as a local reporter, I asked her what she was feeling. And she said, you know, there's no closure. It's not closure, she said, but there has been sort of a weight, a blanket, a weight on this community and this town. And she's like, I think I feel it lifting just a bit, that there is relief. And so while it is a sad day, and as these victim impact statements explain, Abby and Libby will never come back. And as Abby's grandfather explains, it is like a scab that doesn't ever heal, and that there's no such thing as closure. I do feel that there is in this community, according to Holly with the Carroll County Comet, that there is something, that a weight that has been lifted just a bit, and maybe Delphi will be able to breathe again. I am going to take off, and I hope, it is my hope, that many people share this, because if there's anything that needs to be shared right now, it is the voice of the surviving victims. They have been gagged for years. They have not been able to speak for years. And today they were finally able to share their thoughts, and their voices matter. And that's why I waited to make sure I could get some of their words to read them as best as I could. And so if there is anything that I hope we can share with each other about this case, please share these victim impact statements, because these are the words that we should be listening to more than any other, in my opinion. And forgive my preaching if that's what I'm doing, but I just feel I've been waiting to hear from them, and I think it's so important that we all listen. With that, I am going to take off. I have I got an interview with Lieutenant Holman as well, and I recommend that you watch that. I have a couple of interviews actually on my shorts, and interestingly enough, they both talk about how the defense handled this case. It's interesting, as well as the victim impact statements. It's interesting. And I also filmed an interview with Kathy Schenck, and I will also have that up, and more content coming. Thank you, everyone, for your support during this process. John, my husband, Dr. John, also has more coming. We are working on our analysis still. It's not over for us. Delphi is not over for us. I don't go home and just conclude. We are going to talk about Delphi, Indiana, and about Abby and Libby and this case. For those that want to hear how Dr. John feels about things that he has not shared publicly, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/hiddentruecrime. And we have bonus episodes over there where we feel safer behind a paywall, where he has shared some of his stronger opinions on what happened during the Delphi trial. And we thank you to those that support us over there. Right, Gems, thank you so much. I hope that whatever you're celebrating this season, and if you're celebrating this season, I wish you a very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. To those that are lonely this holiday, because I know that there are many, many out there that are lonely, I'm thinking of you. And may we be able to have a happy beginning with 2025. All right, guys, we'll see ya. I'll be back with more soon. Bye-bye.
New year, same great savings.
all in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase, limit two. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.